plate a potential nugget.
And moving forward, Anu, IMA happened, and post IMA, you pursued a career in equity research for 7 years, 91 to 98, and then you moved to McKinsey. So talk about that transition. How did it come about? And, again, having moved here, talk to us a little bit about what you had to learn and unlearn given that transition.
Sure. So I went through a couple of career transitions, actually, before coming to McKinsey. So there were three of them. Mm-hmm. My first job was actually in banking. Right. And I was a foreign exchange. I was on the foreign exchange treasury trading desk. Yeah. Right. So I did that for a couple of years. But for me, that wasn't me. I was not super excited about trading, taking risk, making money. That was just not super exciting. What I really wanted, or what excited me more, was the sort of knowing something about something. So I really felt like I wanted to understand a topic, a theme, a set of problems. And I guess it was the more analytical part of me that was wanting a switch. So I switched then. I was a credit analyst for some time, and then I was an equity analyst for some time. Mm-hmm. And those roles were more about thinking and analysis and understanding, becoming a sort of, you know, somebody who knew something about that area and was able to communicate it well.
Got it.
So I enjoyed that. But there was an externally prompted crisis, actually, that made me think about shifting tracks. Life might have been different had 1998's Asian financial crisis not happened.
Right.
But it did happen. And the investment bank I was working for actually went bust. They had a lot of debt on their books, which went belly up. And then I had a genuine choice about what to do next.
Mm.
And there were other options in the equity analyst space that I had offers and I could have. But it did feel to me that, you know, here's a chance to try something different. And McKinsey was an interesting unknown space that I was just curious about. Frankly, it was pure curiosity that prompted me to, apply to McKinsey. I remember that when I got the offer, the compensation was actually significantly lower than what I would have got elsewhere. And everyone I talked to said, why on earth would you do this? But I was just curious. I said, it doesn't matter. I just want to know. This is a space that's known for, you know, excellence. So I want to see what it's like. I don't probably won't last there too long, but, you know, why not?
Sure.
Try it now, right?
Sure.
This is an inflection point in my life. And that's the motivation with which I joined McKinsey. And of course, I stayed here for over 15 years, as it happened. But
sure. And once again, having sort of experienced consulting and having seen banking, different facets of banking rather, I go back, again, rewind the clock back to, let's say, graduating from IMA. Consulting and banking, I think, still are two very coveted paths. And I'm curious about your take on how students should think about the two options. And I realize that sometimes there's no substitute to learning through experience. But at that time, most people are academically qualified but possibly haven't worked. So what's your take on the questions people should ask themselves to see which path might be more appropriate?
I think there are a few fundamental differences between the two paths, right? I think in consulting, what you actually get is a sort of, first and foremost, an opportunity to be in a university for life or a university of life kind of environment where your learning curve in terms of a whole host of different skill sets is very steep.
Yeah.
In banking, of course, in every occupation you learn. So I'm not trying to say you don't learn elsewhere. But in consulting, it's a very 360 degree skill development on a very accelerated track. So we like to think that we work with people who come out of business schools, and then in 5 or 6 years, they are holistic leaders, right? So how does that very accelerated process happen? It's through apprenticeship and learning from others. But
you're at the bleeding edge of the problems the world is trying to solve, right?
You completely are. And there is also a lot of variety because, at least for a good chunk of your initial years, you're not dedicated to any one area. So you don't know, frankly, where your path will lead you, but you have the opportunity to figure that out. So that's part of this university of life kind of idea. The second, I think, really fundamental difference is that in consulting, it is the business of making other people successful.
Right.
And you have to be very comfortable with that, committed and energized by that. And equally, you have to be very energized and comfortable about working within teams in a very collaborative environment.
Mm.
So if that doesn't make you tick, then you should think hard about it, because this is a people business, both internally as well as the clients we work with. Mm. And it is about making other people successful,
right,
both externally and internally.
Right.
Actually, each of us as McKinsey leaders,
right,
it's all about how helpful you are to make other people in McKinsey successful.
Right.
So that is, I think, you don't quite think about it that way if you're outside, but when you're inside, you do realize that this is what it takes.
And interesting. So back to sort of distill it to the questions. One is clearly the sort of the learning curve piece that you spoke about. Second is the people element, which is often less understood.
Yeah.
The problem solving element is often better understood.
Better understood. Exactly.
Is there any other element of the journey in banking or consulting which is not as well understood in the path?
I think for me, one interesting observation that I had is that in consulting, and maybe this is true to some extent, again, in banking, I'm not trying to minimize that, but I did feel that in consulting, the ability to zoom in and go very, very granular into problems, but equally through that process, zoom out and synthesize and really step back and say, what is the big takeaway? What are we really saying? What does this all mean? So the zoom in, zoom out aspect of what you're required to do, both are equally important.
Mm.
I don't think people fully appreciate that. A lot of people may think consulting is all about, you know, the very exciting strategy bit, but without understanding that you really have to understand how a process works. So you might be in a mine trying to figure out how to improve productivity, or you might be taking a credit scoring process and, you know, figuring it out at the nth levels. But the zoom in is really important, but then the zoom out is equally important, because you can't be in the weeds.
Got it.
And this is, I think, part of the problem solving process, which is exciting and not so well understood outside.
Interesting.
I was recently reading the book Algorithms to Live by Brian Christian and Tom Griffiths. It's an interesting book that talks about real-life problems we face and how we can learn from equivalent problems that have been solved elegantly in the computer sciences world. One of the problems they talk about is the notion of explore versus exploit. They talk about the example of choosing a restaurant and discuss the two options, one being going to the tried and tested, versus trying something new and possibly discovering a better experience is option number two. They equate this to what they call is a multi-armed bandit problem, which I guess is a sophisticated mathematical equivalent. But net-net, what they say is it makes sense to explore in the early stages, but towards the end, it makes sense to move to an exploit phase once you've tried a few and you have a sense of what works. The reason I bring it up is that Anu talks about exploring and trying something new when her bank went belly up in 1998. And trying McKinsey, and has been there for 15 years since. As I reflect on how people should think about careers, I guess a similar principle applies. It makes sense to experience a few things, not for the sake of it, but whenever you get an appropriate, meaningful opportunity. And then with the passage of time, you move to more of an exploit phase in terms of leveraging your capabilities and skill sets. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com. If you want to listen offline, either on a flight or a car ride, you could download the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or one of the other podcast apps.